exploring the banquet of faith is a way of acknowledging where each of us meets God's life-giving Spirit. How do you live your faith? We're celebrating the various ways that we express our faith and are sustained in our faith. Last week, we experienced the joyful faith of the messenger of good news, the evangelical. And we did our best to get past the very negative connotations that that word often carries, and for good reason. We celebrated the evangelical, not the fundamentalist, not the obnoxious, not the hypocritical, not the judgmental Christian, but the evangelical, who experience a deep intimacy with Christ and are motivated by telling people about Jesus and the joy of a meaningful personal relationship. Today we gather at the table, so to speak, as we worship in what is perhaps the most familiar and easily recognizable expression of faith. Experienced as members of the community of Christ's body, the ecclesial lived faith. For the group we are calling the ecclesials, the meeting place with God is right here, among the gathered community, the body of Christ. Their love for God is nurtured and expressed not primarily through their independent actions, but through the things the church does as a church when we are together in everything from worship to teaching or leading kids' church to serving a committee or on the board or serving coffee, which we're still having trouble with. And no kidding, we need help cleaning it up today, so please step up. Or perhaps as an ecclesial, we are engaged in caring for one another, staying in touch, checking in. All of these different ways are ways of being, living an ecclesial faith. And perhaps that's you. Now, those of you who are likely ecclesials might think that everyone feels about church gatherings on Sunday services the way you do. After all, shouldn't all church members? But no, not necessarily. Worship services and singing in the choir and enjoying the sacraments, serving on the board, or helping with kids' church, they're all very important, but they're not the only ways to live our faith as Christians. For some, what we do outside of this building, or at least outside of our Sunday or other gatherings, is more important and more life-giving, and that's actually okay. In fact, it's great. That's the whole point of celebrating the full, delicious theological banquet. All the flavors are valid, wonderful expressions of faith. And we are healthier and stronger and more united and complete if we recognize that. And whether this is your most natural expression of faith or not, or you're one of those people who kind of has to drag yourself to church some of the time because you do want to be part of the community, We know that the Spirit is alive in this place, calling us through the good news of Jesus, through Christian community, through acts of compassion or works of justice and prayers of wonder, to feast in the friendship of shared faith. So this flavor helps to sustain the others in a particular way. Our gatherings of worship and fellowship and even institutional church government help to feed and sustain the other ministries. Now, as a minister who has the privilege of leading worship and sharing the sacraments and attending many, many church gatherings, you might think that I would, of course, be an ecclesial Christian, right? Don't all ordained Christian ministers need to be ecclesials? What do you think? Yes and no, I would say. Let me explain. As most of you know, I grew up in Japan with parents who worked for the church. They were sent by a church, a denomination here in Canada, to work in Japan with the Korean people in Japan, the Korean Christian Church in Japan. And so they were serving both national and regional bodies of the church, and for some of the time, they served a local congregation also. So quite simply, as you can imagine, the church was our life as a family. And I hope I don't shock you when I tell you that I developed both a love and a hate relationship with the church as I grew up. It was a place where I felt comfortable. I could walk into almost any church and feel at home. I loved to sing most of the hymns. I loved the stories. I loved the community. I really did and do. But I also grew up aware of the imperfections of the church community, the brokenness and the failures within individual communities and the wider church. So, as I grew up, I had a sense that maybe I was being called into ministry, but I really seriously explored other possibilities for my life. And that was the advice not only of my parents, but of many other people in ministry. Don't do this if you can do anything else, they sometimes said. I looked into doing international development work or other social justice work, into law, politics and activism, teaching, explored a number of possibilities. And even when I embraced my call to ministry as a university student, I always assumed that I would serve either in some kind of mission work, like a downtown inner city ministry, or perhaps go overseas to a developing country. I was especially interested in Africa, where apartheid was just coming to an end in those days. But something strange happened to me after I moved out here to Vancouver from Ontario and started attending theological school at the Vancouver School of Theology up at UBC. Well, lots of strange things happened to me, I should say, but one thing in particular that was really a surprise to me was that I fell back in love with the ordinary church again. The joy of singing together, the importance of thoughtful teaching, learning together to follow Jesus. The incredible power of worship that really connects and moves people. The sacraments, the liturgy. Honestly, I think it helped that we were studying alongside some Anglicans. That's their forte. Do you know what liturgy means? There's another word you don't use in conversation much. Liturgy means later, it comes from the root liturgia, which means the work of the people. People think liturgy is a minister's word, but it's actually about what the people do in worship. It's your work, our work together. So gradually my sense of call took shape and I was drawn to the ministry of ordinary congregations and the possibility that they could be subversive places. I was still political. Always am. Subversive places where people get together to help each other connect with God and get to know Jesus and practice and celebrate how to follow Jesus. I fell in love with church as kind of a boot camp or training center to train us on how to live in faith. To live according to the values of the reign of God instead of the values of our messed up world. Not always messed up, but messed up in lots of ways. I fell in love with the church as the potential embodiment of the kingdom of God, the beloved community. Have you noticed that one of the remarkable things about Jesus is that he rejected the cultural norms of his time when it came to what was really important? He rejected the cultural norms. He treated women with honor and respect that was very unusual in his time. He spoke with and even touched those who were considered unclean, unworthy, untouchable. He spent time with so-called sinners and even people considered traitors to their own people, like tax collectors. Tax collectors for the empire. And as we've heard in that beloved story, he welcomed children and made time for them. Unheard of. Jesus turns the priorities of the world upside down. Jesus offered a surprising, incredible teaching about the household of God. His extraordinary concept of the kingdom, or what we sometimes say the kingdom of God. It's a modern twist on the old language of the kingdom of God that we use sometimes to focus on how it really changes what we mean by kinship. Jesus didn't necessarily intend to start a new religion. He was a teacher within the Jewish tradition, after all. But it's very clear that he intended his followers to form a different kind of community. And as we heard in the book of Acts, as we hear throughout the book of Acts, his earliest followers gathered and shared their belongings and provided for the poor and marginalized. They ate together and prayed together and established a new kind of social bond across economic and familial and eventually cultural boundaries. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. spoke a lot about what he called the beloved community. the vision of the human family ruled by love and justice instead of money and power. The book of Acts is a wonderful record of how the earliest believers lived out Christ's vision. The waters of baptism remind us that we all belong and that we have been given a mission to share the love of God in our many-colored, many-flavored ways. You're thinking, where is he going? No, I don't need to use the washroom. But I'm going to, if it doesn't hurt you, I'm going to ask you to turn your necks a bit and notice. Do you know why this is here? This is our baptismal font. It's not a very big bowl of water, but it's here so that when you come in, you remember who you are and whose you are, who we belong to. We belong to God. We belong to each other because of baptism, which is the symbol of our belonging. Doesn't mean we don't belong before we're baptized, but it celebrates that we are, that we belong to each other. The truth is, like any family or close human community, we fall short of the vision of a safe place for all, a loving community where we share freely with each other, where we support one another as we learn and practice the many ways of following Christ. Ecclesial, celebrating God's presence, is also the expression of faith that understands itself to be part of the historical universal church. And we draw on its strengths, but we also bear the legacy of its deep, horrendous failures. Failures that oppressed and persecute people, that help to build and run residential schools, that judged and excluded and destroyed people. So as we worship as a congregation today and each time, we're mindful both of the gifts and the responsibilities of the ecclesial faith, a responsibility we hold between us, among us, as Christ's beloved but broken body, graced by the Spirit to become community of love, a community of love, part of a wider community of love. And we are fed when we have communion together at this table. We're fed for that ministry together. We're fed in many different ways, but especially in the sacrament of Christ's table, to strengthen and sustain us as we boldly follow the Spirit leading us as evangelical, ecclesial, missional, ecumenical, spiritual people of God. So it is my deep privilege to be your MC sometimes, your coach at other times, your guide, and always your fellow traveler as we learn and practice together how to live in Jesus' kingdom. Thanks be to God. Amen.